Stillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 1025. The game Titans schedule is out, as I have told all of you. I don't like this schedule for the Titans. Right there in the middle of the season, Buffalo at home, Kansas City, Indianapolis, the Rams on the road, late Sunday night football, New Orleans at home, five games, five playoff teams from last year in a row. But Indy's got a somewhat similar schedule as the Titans, but the NFL always gives you something. Last week, it was kind of, you know, last month it was the draft. Then before that, it was free agency. Then it was the playoffs. Then it was, they always give you something. And there is one person in this world who never has to get ready because he always stays ready. And it's Teron Davenport, who's here for the TD Power Hour. TD, how are you? Happy schedule release to you.
I appreciate it, man. I am awesome. You know what happened this morning. So it means I got that W, man. I woke up, I won. I hope you feel the same way.
Well, I woke up, today was my walking day, TD, where I just walk because I, you know, take a little day off on Thursdays. And I had the Talking with TD on, talking to Caleb Farley. So everybody be sure to check that out. Teron Davenport right here, Talking with TD, Caleb Farley, one-on-one. And TD is presented by Freedom Tire Guys, Nashville's premier mobile tire company. TD, your initial thoughts on the schedule when it dropped last night?
I think the schedule is very balanced. You do have that stretch, that five-game stretch, you know, starting October 18th and flowing through November 14th, where it's, you know, these teams, they're combined 60 and 20. It's like a murderer's row, man, you know what I mean? So that's going to be tough for them. Two primetime games in that. So I think that's obviously a difficult part. But if you look at this schedule, it's really spread out very evenly because – you come back from that, you got the Texans at home, you got the Patriots in New England, that's going to be a tough game. And then later in the year, you got the Steelers and 49ers followed by the Dolphins. So it's like there really aren't any breaks for this team in that schedule. So I think it's set up pretty well for them. I don't think it's sweet, obviously, when it's the 13th most difficult schedule. I thought it was interesting, too, when you look at the quarterbacks that they're going to have to face.
Yep.
There is a good chance that they'll face four out of the five rookie quarterbacks this year. And obviously they got the Bears to end the preseason game, so they could face Justin Fields in the preseason. So that's going to be interesting.
The thing that got me about the schedule is I looked at it, and I look at it in three parts, TD. The first part where there's some fluff in there, the Jets, the Jags, maybe Arizona. But a trip to Seattle is never easy.
Mm-mm.
And then you come home and play one of the biggest games of the season against Indianapolis. And I say the first part of the season is that could make or break the Titans season, because if you get caught up, if you get tripped up early in the year, you could sink in the middle of the season. I just look at it like you're going to have to manage the beginning of the, you're going to have to go win games in the beginning of the season, manage that middle, and then sweep up at the end.
Well, you split games or the schedule into quarters, right? You treat it just like a game. So the first four games, you do have a couple of tough matchups. I think the Cardinals still present a tough matchup as well with Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins and those guys. I can't wait to see, you know, Caleb Farley on the field. Let's see if he is able to man up against Hopkins, if they have him do that. When he was on Talking with TD, he said that he would embrace that. And if they trust him enough to do it, he would love to be able to. Let's see what happens there. But I think you mentioned the trip to Seattle. Let me tell you this. Not having back-to-back road games against the Seahawks and Rams is very beneficial. And I will tell you from experience, right? Because in 2017, and by the way, I love Seattle. It's an awesome city, man. I love it. But I will tell you from experience, 2017, the Eagles played the Seahawks and then turned around and had to play the Rams all on the road. And I ended up, not coming back home. You know what I mean? And that's what they did. They practiced at Anaheim Stadium. And a funny story, the media room that we had, we got kicked out of there because Ohtani has signed, however you pronounce his name, the pitcher.
Shohei Ohtani.
Ohtani, yeah, he has signed. And we got kicked out of our room because they had to do his press conference. But, you know, when you have to spend that much time away from home, that's a tough thing. And I know, teams have struggled to do that The Eagles actually, they won and won. They won one and lost one. They ended up beating the Rams but lost to the Seahawks. So that is a beneficial thing. And, I mean, end of the day, you got to play who's in front of you, and you can't complain. You just got to knock them down one by one.
Sure. And it's funny you bring that up. I think the same year, 2017, the Titans went out west to Arizona and San Francisco. You thought at the time two gimme wins. Titans lost both games. And, you know, those west trip, those west coast. The thing that worries me, there's two things I really hate about the schedule and one thing I really love. The two things I hate, one is going to Seattle and then coming back to play Indianapolis. That is a long trip. Now, it's good that it's early in the season, so you're not going to have as many guys beat up on those long flights, but I hate having to play Seattle in Seattle and then coming back to play Indy. The other thing I hate, obviously, is Buffalo on a Monday night, short week for Kansas City. I'm like, who drew that one up for the Titans? The thing I like, tell me if I'm crazy for liking this as much as I do. The Thursday night game against San Francisco, I figured would be one of those trips you're talking about, TD, where San Francisco goes to Jacksonville and then flies to Nashville and then flies home. They play Atlanta at home on a Sunday. So they're going to have to make that flight from San Francisco. They're probably going to get no practice time in. And because they play Atlanta, I think it would be really beneficial for the Titans to get that film of them going up against Dean Pease and Arthur Smith.
Yeah,
because how much is San Francisco going to change their game plan, considering they probably won't get to practice between the Atlanta game and playing the Titans on a Thursday night?
But you know what? That's going to double back for the 49ers too, right? Because the similarities. So even though it's a short week for them, they'll be able to see a lot of things that they've seen just a week before, so their game plan can be similar. Obviously, coaches have different tendencies, so you got to keep that in mind. But here's the thing that you also have to factor in on the 49ers coming to Nashville. There was a point in time before the Seahawks got really good and the 49ers got good in like 2011, 2012. Mm-hmm. Teams coming from the West Coast to the East Coast, they really struggled.
Yep.
So that's something you have to factor. And so this game is going to be, what, 12 p.m. our time, I believe. That's
Thursday
a prime
night.
Time. Okay, never mind. I'll drop that. That is a prime time game. So never mind there. But that's still something that you know, they have to adjust to, the whole idea of the time change, right? Even though it's only 2 hours, I'm telling you, it has an impact. I know it personally. You know, so that's something that you have to factor in. But when you mention the Seahawks and the Colts and back-to-back, you know, they're going to get back late, early Monday morning, right? Mm-hmm. It's probably, I would say, probably, you know, in the wee hours of the morning, they'll have their day off, and then they'll be back into normal. I don't think that's really going to mess up their routine, to be honest with you.
Do you think the trip to L.A. on Sunday Night Football, because they'll get back from that one at like 8 in the morning, the trip to L.A., back to New Orleans, do you worry about that?
I wouldn't necessarily worry about it. You know, end of the day, here's the deal. Even though these guys are people, they're professionals. And you got to just turn around and do what you do, right? And by that point in time, so we're talking, what, the second week of November. By that point in time, you know, you will have some guys week 9, going into week 10, you'll have some guys that are banged up, right? But, mm-hmm. you know, at the same time, these planes, I mean, they're very luxurious. So there is opportunity for recovery there. I wouldn't be too concerned about it, honestly.
Are you concerned about Buffalo, Kansas City, and then at Indy, which may be the biggest game of the season?
Now, that's something to be a little concerned about. Like I said, man, that stretch, that's Murderer's Row.
Because it's Murderer's Row.
You got to turn around and go to the Rams after that, and then you come back and you get the Saints. So you really aren't blessed at all. But, you know, the thing about it, to start that stretch, that Bills game, man, the Bills, that team, that's a hard team. You know what I mean? Like, they're physical. Mm-hmm. So you got to go against that, and then you got to turn around and run her all over the field with your tongue hanging out, because you know how the Chiefs are. They spread it. They're going to stretch you horizontally and vertically. So that defensive unit, man, those guys, they're going to have to hustle. And then you turn around and you go against another backyard team, a rival team in the Colts. That's a tough stretch right there, man. I would not want to have to, you know, go through that. But, hey, it's the way the schedule fell, so they're just going to have to, like I said, knock them down as they get lined up.
If you were representing the Titans and I was representing football and we were having a plea bargain deal and I offered you 2-5 in those five games, but one of them is the Colts, would you take it?
2-5.
Or 2-3 of those five. You win two, but one of the two wins is the Colts.
No, man. I'm never going to take negativity, man. I wouldn't. No.
Oh, I'd settle. I'd settle.
Two and five?
No, 2-3.
Two and three. Right. Yeah. So you're saying would I take losing three out of those five games?
Yes.
Heck no. What I look like accepting failure like that, man? Come hey, on, man.
I'm just looking at the season. I'm just worried about, yeah, if they can get past that stretch. I mean, again, and I think there's going to be a trap game in here somewhere.
Oh, absolutely.
Houston at New England before the bye scares the daylights out of me because you will have played 12 games or 11 games, and it's just like, oh, my goodness, get us to the bye, get us to a couple of days off, get us to healing our injuries. Oh, and you get Bill Belichick and the Patriots on the road. Nobody likes playing there.
Nobody does, but the one thing that you got to remember, and I look back to 2019, I remember asking Derrick Henry about this team and why is it that they get better when things get murky, when it gets muddy. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that he said is they like that, right? And then you look back to the playoff game, right, when they were going up to New England. Everybody, oh, my goodness, the Patriots and their record, the great Tom Brady. Mike Vrabel was like, yo, we're going into a hornet's nest and I'm looking forward to it. This team just seems to be one of those units that elevates themselves when it comes to these adverse type situations. But as you mentioned, there's always that slip up game because this team at times will play down to the level of the team that they're facing. Just look at the Bengals game last year.
Oh,
and
sure.
That's a big problem.
Yep. It's funny, you know, every year, TD, and I know that you did for ESPN, the schedule, kind of the schedule predictions.
Yeah.
But every year I wait until the Monday of the week that starts training camp, and I just put games in certain categories. Will win, should win, toss up, should lose, will lose. And every year they win one or two of the should lose games or will lose games, and they lose one of the will win games. Every year, it's like clockwork that they win a game that it's like in August. I'm no shot that they could win that game. Kansas City on a short week after playing Buffalo on Monday Night Football. And sure enough, they go out and do it. There's something about the DNA of this team, to your point.
Right, exactly. What did Mike Vrabel say? Street rats, right? And mm-hmm. You know, how does a street rat thrive? In bad situations, you know, it figures out where it's going to get something to eat. And I think that's something that you see this team do. But I just can't get over the fact that even though you mentioned that there are games in that should-lose bucket that they win, the games in that should-win bucket that they lose is a problem. And that's something that they have to get better at. They have to, you know, you look at the way they start these type of games, right? It's always a slow start. And then as they're down 17-0, they're like, oh, wait a minute.
Yep.
We got a game to play. So that's something that they have to focus on turning around.
TD is with us, the TD Power Hour. TD presented by Freedom Tire Guys, Nashville's premier mobile tire company, online at freedomtireguys.com. Coming up next, the Colts schedule and the Titans schedule. It seems somewhat similar, but did the construction of the schedule give the Colts an edge? We'll ask TD that coming up next. Plus, we'll get TD's reaction to Eric Fisher signing with the Colts as well. Stillman and Company, we're delivered by TriStar Moving. We're live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. It's ESPN 102.5, the game.
When you just glance at this schedule, Mark, what jumps out at you?
Well, they're definitely playing against playoff-caliber teams. The 49ers game should be really interesting. You know, who knows who's going to be starting at quarterback for San Francisco at this point. You know, the 49ers are a pretty well-run team, so you got to figure that, you know, for a team that went through all those injuries, they will bounce back this year. You know, that's not going to be easy. The Bills games have become kind of fun. They they kind of evened out last year with the Titans finally beating them. The Bills had won ugly the previous two times they played. But, yeah, you know, these are going to be highly promoted games because they appear to be against playoff contenders.
That was Mark Howard this morning on with Joe Rexroad. Teron Davenport's with us, the TD Power Hour, presented by Freedom Tire Guys, Nashville's premier mobile tire company, online at freedomtireguys.com. TD, do you think that three primetime games was good for the Titans? Were you surprised? I was shocked by the Rams on Sunday Night Football last night when that dropped. I thought that might be a Monday night game. I was surprised it was a Sunday night game. What did you think of it?
No, I think it was good. I would like to have seen more Monday night games, and that's just me being selfish because I love the way it, you know, that gives me a chance to have one of my own posts featured on the .com, on ESPN.com. So for greedy purpose, selfish purposes, I would like to see more Monday night games. I think three is a decent number, but the thing that you have to remember is the way this Titans team, they're not sexy. Right, nope. Everybody loves the team, even though they scored 30 points a game last year. They're not sexy, right? They mm-hmm. are ground and pound, wear you away, and then you will get occasional home runs from the running back or the receiver in AJ Brown. But I could see that as a reason why they don't have a whole lot of primetime games. But still, you know, three is good for me.
I've always said that three things get you on TV. Big market, iconic franchise, star quarterback. Titans don't have those three things. I mean, you hate it because it's like it's a slight on Tannehill or it's a slight on the city of Nashville or it's a slight on the franchise. It's not. It's just there's a difference in market size between Nashville and Chicago, so the Bears are going to be on TV a lot more. There's a difference in star caliber player between mm-hmm. Ryan Tannehill and Lamar Jackson, so the Ravens are going to be on TV a little bit more, and there's a difference, obviously, in terms of, you know, iconic franchise between, I don't know, the Steelers and, say, the Titans. TD, looking at the Colts' schedule, it's kind of similar to the Titans in that their rough patches at the beginning. Seattle, the Rams, the Titans, a 10-win Miami team, and at Baltimore. So they've got a five-game stretch, four playoff teams and a 10-win Miami, and three of those are on the road. Then it kind of, you know, evens out a little bit in the middle of their schedule. They still got the Titans and the 49ers, Buffalo, Tampa Bay. And then after that, they are home free. Houston, New England, Arizona, Vegas, the Jags. Do you think that the schedule construction gives the Colts the nod over the Titans, or do you think that it is not really based upon how the schedule's made?
I'm curious, why do you say Patriots at Arizona, why do you consider those games to be a part of a stretch where they're home free?
So the Patriots, to me, are a real wild card in all of this for both teams. Because, I mean, are we going to sit here and count Belichick out? Like, I know that I don't love Cam at quarterback and Mac Jones would be a rookie, but he's still the greatest coach of all time. So it's hard for me to rule out New England.
Exactly.
On the other front, though, I am going to rule out Arizona because I do not buy the Cliff Kingsbury thing. I never did. I thought it was ridiculous when they hired him. And it's like with Kyler, and I'll be honest that I don't watch a ton of Kyler, but with Kyler, I think he's dynamic, but I also feel like at times he really struggles. And
everybody does, though.
But he really struggles, and I just don't see him. Like the step Josh Allen took from year two to year three, I'm not sure I see Kyler taking that step. Or the step Lamar took from year one to year two, I'm not sure I see Kyler taking that step. I'm not a believer in the Arizona Cardinals. I liked when I saw Arizona week one for the Titans. You seem to probably have more stock in Arizona than I do.
Let me say this. While you're saying that you don't believe much in the Cliff Kingsbury side of things, I get that. But see, the thing is, this team has players that play beyond scheme.
Sure.
How many times do you see a blitz coming in, Kyler Murray does that baseball reverse turn out of the pocket, is running, attacking the line of scrimmage, a corner, you know, is not able to plaster to DeAndre Hopkins long enough, or let's say he does, and Murray just throws it up there, and Hopkins does what he does. Because Hopkins is a guy who, even if he's double-teamed, he's not covered. So I think that's an example of playing beyond scheme. So it's not just Cliff Kingsbury. I think Kyler Murray is a very dynamic player, as you mentioned. But I think the difference in not seeing that jump from year two to year three, like you saw from Josh Allen, is because you got a much more finished product. Like you got a guy who had a lower floor than Josh Allen did. So there was more to be improved upon. With Josh Allen, his improvement that he made as far as accuracy, you don't usually see players get into the NFL and become more accurate. It just doesn't usually happen that way. But for Josh Allen, it did. I think the Cardinals are a tough team. Now, when you're just talking about the overall schedule for the Colts this year, one thing you do have to look at is, because the Titans have a short week. You mentioned that. But the Colts have an even shorter week because they play the Titans, right? The Titans go to Indianapolis on Halloween, October 31st.
Yep.
Then they have to turn around 4 days later and play the Jets. So that's even though it's the Jets, J-E-T-S, Jets, the team where Fireman Ed gave up on, they're still, you know, an NFL team. And they're still a team that I, you know, can take advantage of that type of situation where you have a team coming off a very physical game, an emotional game against a division rival. That's a perfect opportunity for the Jets to come in and beat them. So that's something to consider. But as you mentioned, the schedules are very similar. You know, they both start off a strong stretch, and I think it's just going to really come down to who can just be consistent throughout. And for the Colts, it's all about Carson Wentz. You know, which one are they going to get? You know, are they going to get a guy that is going to be able to do something that he hasn't done since he's been a junior in high school, and that's finished a full season? Is he going to be able to do that? Because if he can't, Lord have mercy. Jacob Eason is the backup. Sam Ellinger is no. That's not sure.
No. The other thing about the Colts schedule is they go to San Francisco and play on Sunday Night Football. And I know you don't read too much into this, TD, because we talked about with the Titans and the Rams. They go to San Francisco Sunday Night Football. We know that when San Francisco's right, they're physical and they're running the ball. Mm-hmm. That's when San Francisco is right, especially with that defensive line that they've had. Sunday Night Football at San Francisco, turn around, have to play the Titans and Derrick Henry. That is a lot of bruising. That is a lot of, you know, big guys. You know, you got Bosa 1 week, you got the 49ers who want to run the ball, then you got Derrick Henry, you got Autry and Simmons, and that is going to, I wouldn't love that turnaround. I don't love the Seattle and then home for Indianapolis like the Titans have, but this is Sunday Night Football San Francisco turnaround with the Titans. I'm not sure I'd love that if I was an Indianapolis fan.
Yeah, I wouldn't love that either. It's tough. But again, like, hey, look, as they line them up, you got to knock them down. I'll say that again. I think another thing that you have to look at is the first part of the schedule, right? They're going to be without who? Eric Fisher, left tackle. Yep. What do we say about Carson Wentz, right? Mm-hmm. This guy was sacked, what, 50 times last year? It wasn't solely because of the offensive line. It was also because that guy was trying to holding on to the ball too long as well. So that's something to look at. And you got these first couple games. All right, so Seattle, Rams, the third game of the year, Bud Dupree. If he's back fully, which I don't think he's going to be back all the way, I think you'll get the full Bud Dupree later in the season. But still, seeing him, Howard Landry, you know, going against – whoever that left tackle is before Eric Fisher gets in, I think that could be an advantage, right? The Rams, the week before. Yes, Aaron Donald is a guy who plays on the interior, but dadgummit, I would be looping him to the outside and having the end crash and working those stunts like that because I want to attack whoever that left tackle is. So I think there are opportunities. And then, you know, the Dolphins, they you know, they got that young bull, Jalen Phillips, you know what I mean? And he's something special. So that's another opportunity for – you know, the pass rush to get to Carson Wentz, and that could definitely start things off really badly for that team.
Get your questions in for TD. Schedule Titans-related, 615-737-1025 into the text line. We will have all those questions, your Titans questions for TD at the end of the hour, 615-737-1025. TD got to catch up with Caleb Farley on Talking with TD, and coming up next – rookie mini camp. It's like, oh my goodness, you got the draft, and I got the schedule, you got rookie mini camp. Rookie mini camp starts. TD will be out there, I believe, this weekend.
Absolutely.
And we'll get TD's thoughts on what he's expecting. Stillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving. TD is presented by Freedom Tire Guys, Nashville's premier mobile tire company, online at freedomtireguys.com. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
The confidence that you have. I listened to you talk about going against Tyreek Hill and how, you know, you wouldn't be afraid. There wouldn't be panic. You rely on your speed. Is that really, like, is that speed that the confidence, does that provide it? Or where do you develop that confidence to be able to say something like that?
I mean, you know, it's not relying just on speed. It's relying on everything, you know, I've learned playing corner. And I mean, what was I supposed to say? Was I supposed to say, you know, I'm fearful of the man? If somebody keep asking me and throwing somebody that they feel like is extremely fast, or they feel like is kind of a freak show from sitting on the couch at home, am I supposed to answer that question and agree with them and say, yeah, man, I'm scared of them too? Because I mean I'm not. I just answered it honestly to let them know that I feel like guys get in trouble. You know, can almost defeat themselves mentally. That was what the question and answer was. It wasn't me, you know, trying to talk, you know, trash before a season or anything like that. It was just me answering the question. If I get asked these questions by, you know, interviewers and they're throwing the same name out as if it's supposed to be scary, you know, I had to shut that down and let them know, you know, ain't no man going to intimidate me by, especially by speed. I'm fast too. You know what I'm saying? It was more of that type of energy than anything else. You know, I'm not gonna ever say, oh yeah, I'm fearful of this man.
There you go. That was Caleb Farley talking with TD. I like his answer, TD.
I love the answer, young boy. He got some hashtag that dog in him. You know what I mean? And I just love the way he made it clear, like, yo, I'm not going to be scared of anybody. Like, what am I supposed to say? That part really, I was like, yeah, he's showing his teeth right here. And I hit him with a B.I.G. line, you know what I mean? And Biggie, you know, in his song, he said, picture me being scared of a bleep who breathes the same air as me. And that's really what it's all about. Like, you can't, this guy on the opposite of you, he puts his pants on just the same way you do. You can't be afraid. And I love the fact that he fully understands it, you know, and that's something that you got to like from a corner.
So the Titans announced rookie minicamp is going to be this weekend, and the numbers for the rookies, for the draft picks at least, are out. Did you see this, Teron?
Absolutely.
Des Fitzpatrick, number 10, yep. Caleb Farley, 23, Elijah Molden, 24, Brady Breeze, 33, Monty Rice, 56, Dylan Raiden, 75, Racy McMath, 81, and Rashad Weaver, 99. Mm. Do you know why I love that, TD?
Why?
Because I hate the new number rule where you can wear whatever number you want to wear, and I just want to thank the Titans for sticking with the standard NFL numbers. I know no one understands why I feel that way. I'm not sure exactly why I feel that way, but apparently somebody with the Titans feels that way too. What are you looking forward to at rookie minicamp this weekend?
Yeah, there's a lot of things I'm looking forward to. I want to see how much they put on Elijah Molden. And I go back, and I talked about this with Chris Sanders on Talk with TD. I go back to a few years ago where Amani Hooker was a rookie, and you saw him start to get into more nickel packages because he showed how well he could grasp the system during rookie minicamp. So one, through OTAs and then into actual minicamp, he was working with first team on the nickel side of things, but it was because he showed that he was capable of doing it. I want to see how well Elijah Molden is able to do that, because that young man is a very intelligent player. It's something that, you know, I talked to Lou Riddick about. He called him a Jedi of the slot because of the way he's able to handle all the things that's happening and processes. So I want to see how he does. Above all else, you know, I want to see Caleb Farley. He told me that he feels great and he's able to play. You see him on IG, you know, free smoke for whoever thinks their routes are like that. He clearly feels like he's ready to go. But the other thing that he told me was it's all about following protocol and making sure that you give your body the necessary rest. But if he's able to line up and get out there, that will obviously be a sight to see. So I'm looking at those things. I want to see how Des Fitzpatrick is able to move. I want to see that. You know, these are the things that I think we should be looking for. Racy McMath, okay, We hear about him being big. We hear about him being fast. He didn't stand out to me at the Senior Bowl. Let's see how he looks in shorts and T-shirts running these routes. Let's see that. So that's really what I'm looking for. But, you know, I can't wait. I'm uber excited just to get back out there and be able to watch. Man, I missed it, man. You know what I'm saying? I missed it a lot.
I would think one of the things that I think back to rookie minicamp, you brought up Imani Hooker. I think this was before you got here, TD, but Tajay Sharp, when he got to rookie minicamp, he was the talk of rookie minicamp. Mm. And then all of a sudden it turned into Tajay Sharp was the talk of the actual mandatory minicamp, and he was starting at training camp. I mean, I think that there's something to be said for how quickly you can pick it up in rookie minicamp, where the coaches can be the most hands-on with you. I think there's something to be said about how important that is.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's really, again, these guys are people, right? They have egos. You know what I'm saying? And you could caress and stroke that ego by starting off on a really good foot. And that's the thing that I always like to look at when I'm talking to guys. Like, you take Farley, for example. Talking to him, I could tell that guy could go out there and get blown up twice in one-on-one. And he's going to brush right off his back. You know, but at the same time, if he goes out there and he shuts things down on his first couple one-on-one reps, now it's going to really, that ball's really going to get rolling. And I think when you look at just being able to just get off to a good start and just have that confidence and build that momentum, I know there's not an algorithm or formula to measure that. And you know, a lot of analytical guys try to say momentum isn't real. Look, it 100% is real.
Sure.
And that's something that he could build up. Or any of these guys, these young guys get in there and they hit the ground running, they could really build it up. The rookie free agents, you know, these are guys that, you know, they feel like they have something to prove. And they do, because they're, at this point, very expendable. So if they're able to get off to a really good start, and this is a chance to do that, because the focus is on them. They're getting more reps. You don't have the other, you know, 60 or so veterans in there taking up reps and taking up your opportunity to shine. So this is a chance to really put yourself further on the radar.
Two guys, I wonder what your thoughts are for rookie minicamp, because I don't know, you know, if their usage in minicamp will give us a sign of what the Titans are thinking. But Dylan Raidens and Monty Rice, I wonder what the Titans immediate plans for those guys are, and I wonder what their long-term plans are for those guys. What do you think you can take away from rookie minicamp on those two?
Yeah, I don't think you could really take much away as far as Dylan Raidens is concerned. Mm-hmm. You can't get physical. You know what I mean? And
right.
That's offensive linemen. That's the D-line, the trenches. It's let's get physical. That's what it's all about. So not being able to do all that is going to really keep you from being able to get a good grasp of what kind of player and what they expect. But the one thing that you can look at is, okay, is this a guy that Coach Keith Carter or the assistant coach, Coach Sullivan, are they having to go back to him and retrace steps? Or are they going to him and saying, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. You need to get it. That's one thing that you can see as far as what they expect from them and what they're getting from them. As far as Monty Rice is concerned, I think really the main thing is just seeing how can he move around, right? Is he able to flow to the football? Even though, again, they're not hitting, but still, if he's able to get there and just tag off the running back, right, and just tag him, boom, and then the play is dead. If he's able to do that, I think that's something to look for. But really, you're not going to see much of what they're asking from these guys, because it's just the rookies there. So you're not seeing them mixed in with the veterans. You're not seeing, you know, as much extensive practice periods and those type of things.
TD is with us. 615-737-1025. You got a text question in for TD. We're getting right to him next. 615-737-1025. The TD Power Hour is presented by Freedom Tire Guys, Nashville's premier mobile tire company. They're online at freedomtireguys.com. 615-737-1025. ESPN 94.9 is the official English radio home of the Nashville Soccer Club. Listen in Saturday as Nashville SC hits the road to face Real Salt Lake. Pre-game coverage at 8:15, and the match starts at 8:30. Stillman and Company's delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Why did you call him a Jedi of the slot?
Because it's
look, there's a lot of things that that are happening around you. There's a lot of chaos that's around you when you're playing in the slot because of the conflict that you have run past. You know, you're basically, you know, a Sam backer. If you were in a, if you were in base defense, you're, that's who you basically are. And so you have to be a guy who's able to read run pass real quick, understand where your run fit is, and not be soft about it, and be able to take on blockers, get ball carriers down the backfield, blitz if they ask you to blitz, make sure you get the quarterback on the ground, match up against tight ends, match up against wide receivers, running backs. So you have a lot that you have to do, a lot of different roles that you have to play, and it happens so fast that you have to be, you almost have to be in numerous places at once and stay calm about it so you don't, so you're not just running around like a chicken with head cut off. And that's why I say, like, Elijah, when you watch him play, there's never any panic. There's never any stress. It's kind of just very methodical. I can see all these different things happening around me. There's a lot of chaos around me, but I'm in control.
That was Lewis Riddick on Elijah Molden on Talking with TD. Get Talking with TD today. TD is with us, presented by Freedom Tire Guys, Nashville's premier mobile tire company, online at freedomtireguys.com. Good stuff right there from Lewis Riddick, TD, and I know there's a lot more in there as well.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, man. We tried to, not tried to, we put a lot of stuff in there, so definitely check it out. Got Mike Wells talking about the Colts schedule, which I'm sure you would particularly be interested in since that we had that convo earlier.
Oh, I am all about the Colts schedule, but it is time. It's not about what I want. It's not about what TD wants. It's not even about what Caroline wants. It's what the people want to know. It's time for questions with TD. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Caroline Fenton is on the text line. Caroline, what do the people want to ask TD?
Kenston texted in and said, is the week 13 bye a problem? 5 weeks of training camp with 12 weeks of football, 17 weeks of nothing but football is a long time mentally and physically.
I don't think it's a problem, because even though the bye isn't until week 13, you do have, I don't remember exactly where it was, but there is a point where they'll have a little bit more than your standard stretch, you know, between games. So I think they'll be fine. Obviously, you know, they're not playing football the whole 15 weeks because you got the preseason. Guys don't really play in the preseason, so I wouldn't be concerned with that. And also the hitting and that type of stuff, that typically stops by the time training camp is over. So you're not doing that in practice. They'll be fine. And tell you the truth, by week 13, everybody's a little banged up anyway. And there was a nugget that Chris Trapasso out of CBS Sports, he had posted it, and he was kind of complaining about the Bills' schedule. And he said it wasn't good because they have an early bye. And typically, I forget the exact number, but the last three or four Super Bowl winners, they had their bye after week 9. So I don't think it's really that much of a bad thing. But end of the day, like I say, you got to play it as it comes to you. So it just is what it is.
So I actually don't mind the late bye. And I think that the thing about the Titans is – when they're really rolling, they don't need time off, because it's all about the big guys, the Taylor Lewans and the Roger Saffolds and the Nate Davises and the Derrick Henrys. I mean, when the Titans are right, that's the style of football they want to play. And I feel like, TD, I go back to 2019, it felt like it just built up every single week the way that they were playing like that.
Yeah, exactly. And it does build up. And that's one of the things that Mike Vrabel said, because I always like to ask him about momentum, right? And I asked him about that, and a couple years ago he told me that that's something that they build up the week leading into the game. So on Friday, hey, what was the vibe? How was the momentum? That's something I always ask. And they are a team that really bases things, not bases, but they thrive when that momentum that they're rolling into a game.
Michael texted in and said, which new Titans member, drafted or free agent, will make the biggest impact, regardless of position?
Good question.
Really good question. Excellent question, Michael. I'm going to say Elijah Molden. I think he's going to make the biggest impact.
I like that.
And I think I love Farley's cover skills, you know, but it's just too obvious if you say the first-round pick. So I'm going to say Molden. And, again, it goes back to what he brings to the table. He's a guy that I believe is going to be able to soak everything in as far as plays are concerned and the scheme. And I think they'll be able to use him outside in the nickel, single post, too high, whatever you want to do with him, I think you could do it. So that's the guy for me.
I'm going with the Nico Autry.
Oh, I think you're talking about including free agents?
The texter said yes, drafted or free agent.
Well, that's the case. Elijah, I'm sorry. I take all that back. If that's the case, I'm going with Bud Dupree. And the reason why is obviously what he does on the field. But remember when I asked him how he's going to add to the pass rush culture? And one of the things he said was he wants to be – he is that guy. When it's time to make a play, he's going to make it and make himself responsible for doing it. But he wants everybody on the team to be that way. And he said he wants 11 guys on the field that are ready to take your face off. I think when you add a player that's not only a good player, but a player that will help, push the whole room, the whole group, I think that's beneficial. And that's why I say Bud Dupree is going to have the biggest impact. And it's kind of cheating because he's the biggest acquisition, but it is what it is.
I'm still going with Autry. I think Autry's a bad boy. And I think we're going to see Simmons play a lot better playing next to Autry. I mean, I think Autry is – I think it's one of those things that the fans don't totally know because they only saw him a couple times a year in Indy. And when you get to see him every week, it's like, man, he eats up offensive linemen. He gets back to that quarterback, and that's what Simmons does. And I'm excited to see those two play with each other.
Yeah, absolutely. And the things that they could do as far as stunts are concerned and those type of – because Dupree and what he did with Hayward, right, and with Stephon – to it, that was really a problem for defenses. So I think you're right. Those two right there are going to be really good.
Another texter texted in, do you think the Bills or Ravens are a bigger threat in the AFC?
I know Jarrett's going to say the Bills because, he has a Buffalo Bills flag hanging in front of his house. He won't admit it, but he does. I saw it. I'm kidding. All jokes aside, I'm going to say the Ravens, man. And I just
really? –
I just think Lamar Jackson, he's just a total problem. And he changes so much as far as, like, how you have to play this team. And it just – you saw in the playoff game how he could just take it over. And then I think the additions, right? We're talking about Rashad Bateman, Tylan Wallace, Sammy Watkins. We're talking about T. Martin as the receiver coach, who was a proven college top-notch receiver coach. And then you add Keith Williams as their pass game coordinator. And you look at what they did defensively, Dalen Hayes from Notre Dame, right? I think this team, Sean Wade from Ohio State, I think this team is already really good, and they beat you up, but then they could also play that fast break style of offense. And I think they're the biggest problem. But I will say the Bills, they made some solid additions too. I just want to see how they're going to be with just Cole Beasley and Diggs as the top receiving options.
I would say Buffalo, but as TD said, I'm a diehard Bills fan apparently.
Yeah.
So
you go back to 1990.
I would say Buffalo too. I hear you, TD. Lamar Jackson is a problem, but so is Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs.
Here's the thing about Josh Allen though. Like, Lamar to me has proven, Lamar had a great end of his rookie year. The second year Lamar proved, like, I'm here to stay, and he even did it kind of last year. I need to see another superstar year from Josh Allen before I give Josh Allen the credit that I think people want to give him right now, if that makes any sense.
That's fair. Another texter texted in and said, hey, TD, who's kicking field goals for the Titans this year? Ty Sambilo?
I do feel like we have a weekly question for TD about kicking field goals. And I don't know if it's the same guy or not.
It may
or
be.
Or if it is just literally people are scared to death about the kicking game.
It may be. I do see that exact same text from him from March 25th. So
there you go.
Answer the question, TD. The guy's got to know.
Well, I tell you what. You had two guys that were candidates to wear number three, right? Elijah Molden and Caleb Farley. They both wore number three in college, but you got 23 and 24. So that means number three is still open. Could it be Gostkowski? I don't think so. I think it's going to be the guy that they signed from Ohio State. I think that's he's going to end up winning that job.
So I think that they want one of those guys to do it. Tucker McCann or the kid from Ohio State. I think Gostkowski is the option in their back pocket. and they don't want to go to Goskowski, but they're willing to go to Goskowski if they have to go to Goskowski. But I don't think they want to do that. And right now, I'm still waiting. I think they announced today that they signed, what, five of their draft picks today?
Yeah, and I don't believe Elijah Molden was one of them.
I asked John Robinson after the draft was over about restructuring Ryan Tannehill's contract. We thought they were going to need to do that in order to sign the draft picks. They haven't reportedly done that. I do wonder if that step is upcoming.
It's possible. I think it's something that they may end up looking to do anyway, because what do you have coming up on June 1st? A very likely second free agency period, right?
Yep.
And Jameson Crowder, let's say the Jets cut him. Let's say the Eagles cut Zach Ertz. These are two names that, you know, would fit pretty easily into this program that the Titans have going. So I could see that restructure coming just because they have to clear up. Well, they may have to clear up space. I don't think they have to do it for the rookies, though.
How about this, TD? Apparently the Colts, according to Drew Rosenhaus, are signing Eddie Pinheiro to a one-year deal to compete with Rodrigo Blankenship.
Whoop-dee-dang-doo.
Hey, I'll say this. They will have the best-looking kickers with glasses you could ever ask for.
I love Rodrigo Blankenship.
In Indianapolis. Now, yeah. Can they make some kicks? It's kind of questionable. We'll see how they do. TD, as always, talking with TD. You brought up Caleb Farley on there, Lewis Riddick on there. A loaded talking with TD.
Yes, sir. Mike Wells as well, my ESPN NFL Nation teammate, jumped on. So it's a great show. Definitely make sure you tune in. This was a great hour. I appreciate that. And God bless. Not good night. Good afternoon.
TD, we appreciate you as well. The TD Power Hour is presented by Freedom Tire Guys, Nashville's premier mobile tire company, online at freedomtireguys.com. We have had a loaded first 2 hours. So the schedule release, Matthias Ekholm on the program, TD for the TD Power Hour. We'll hit the headlines with Caroline Fenton. I hear there's a lot out there. That is next. Stillman & Company right here. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.